Jason Wilde is brought to you by Boucher Automotive, where we ride with you every mile. 18 dealerships, 15 brands, and thousands of vehicles in stock. Check them out at Boucher.com.
Everybody on the planet Earth, the moon, and Mars who's a Packer fan needs information every day from Jason Wilde. We do our part, 94.5 ESPN. And while they say it's no longer training camp, it's training camp
until
you play your first game. Oh, it's crap. It's training camp. Come on.
Camp is over, bro.
Oh, okay, whatever.
I've been in training camps. They're over when they're over.
When are they? When do you decide it's over?
When the coach said it was over.
Oh, fine. Yeah. Was it? Well, how much was different?
Soon as the last preseason game ended, camp is over.
Okay. How much did practice?
That's when people get cut, and it's over for you.
All right. Well, for those people that get cut, it's over. For those that aren't cut, it's pretty much the same.
You can't change the system, bro. Sorry, bro.
I could change what I call it.
Hey, let's get to our lovely guest.
All right, let's go. Get to our guest, Jason. Well, you get the first. My point was, you get the first question until the first game.
Hello, Jason.
Hi, guys. You guys can just keep arguing if you want. I'm good.
I'll let you argue with him. When are we looking at cuts? Tomorrow? Is that tomorrow?
Well, we got one. The punter's cut.
Ugh. This guy's hating on the punter.
Well, that's what happens when you're 30 years old. We don't want any 30-year-olds here.
This is a young team.
Well, and when you don't care how bad your place kicker might be, because the guy you got might not hold as well as the last guy, and that, of course,
right,
is the most important thing a punter does. And
two questions for you, Jason. First one is about let's dig into the punting here for about 2 seconds. Homer is always hating on the punter, but is important. He says one out of 10, scale of 1 to 10, 10 being most important. He's got the punter at a 0.5. Do you think it's a little more punting is a little more important than that, or no?
I do, and I really think it's more important, as Homer points out, with his holding. I mean, we saw Mason Crosby have a disastrous season in 2021 when he had Corey Bohorquez. Mm-hmm. Who didn't know what he was doing. And then they got O'Donnell last year. He was known as one of the best holders among punters. And Mason Crosby goes from being 25 for 34 in 2021 to 25 of 29 last year. Like, he was better, and the holding was better, and there were less issues with the operation. So, to Homer's point, not that I love telling him he's right, because he doesn't need that, because he just tells himself how often he's right. But the bottom line is that they are really important from a holding perspective, and it would appear that they are willing to deal with not only the growing pains of Anders Carlson learning how to kick at this level, but also with potential misses that'll be attributed to a bobbled hold, or the laces not being out, or the ball still spinning.
Might the big red dog hold? Is it possible the big red dog could hold or not?
No. It's always the punter. So it'll be him. And he held, you know, I'm not saying he's a terrible holder by any means. I feel like we would have heard about how god awful he was if he was really that bad, but he's still certainly not as experienced or as effective as
Jason. You're not going to hear anything from the kicker about the holder.
Nope, you're not.
No.
Jason, is this saying anything to Packers fans out there that they're willing to go in these directions with these positions? Like, they're going young, and they're going to, as you say, deal with the growing pains.
Two year plan. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, Homer's right again. I wish you'd stop. Tony, I wish you'd stop asking questions that forced me to stay home. But it's true. Like, I said this to you. I talked about this possibility with you guys weeks ago.
Yeah.
I feel I was ahead.
Yes, you were.
Because if for Goody to have been on the TV broadcast and to have claimed that, oh, we don't, we're not rebuilding, we want to win, after his answer a week earlier about how we're here to win championships, not just here to win some games. And to win championships, sometimes you have to give guys the chance to grow and improve, and that's what they're doing this year. I just thought that was disingenuous on the TV broadcast. They're hoping that they can be like Seattle last year and trade their starting quarterback and still eke their way into the playoffs at 9-8. But the bottom line is that they are doing this at every position: punter, holder, wide receiver, tight end, quarterback. And next year they're probably going to have to do it at, you know, potentially at places on the offensive line and at running back. So they are clearly building for the future. And if they win games along the way, despite a punter who has never punted in the NFL and a place kicker who's never kicked in the NFL and a bunch of wide receivers and tight ends who have never caught a regular season NFL pass, then great. But they want to get through the 2023 season with as many wins and as many growing pains as possible so they can be good in 2024 and beyond. That's clearly what they're doing, no matter what Goody says to the contrary.
The other question I had about was, does that hold true for the defense and Joe Barry as well? Because I'm thinking it's about time. Like, hey, if this defense can't live up to what it looks like on paper, I don't know, it might be a time for a change. So don't tell me Goody's got another 2-year plan now for him or LaFleur, whoever's doing that hiring.
No, I don't think that's the case. I mean, I think that's the side that has the higher expectations and the higher demands. And, you know, look, they're not young on that side of the ball. They're a veteran group. They've got some young defensive tackles. You know, they drafted Lucas Van Ness, but he's not, in my opinion, he's not one of their top four outside linebackers right now. It's Gary, Preston Smith, Kingsley, and Nagberry, and Justin Hollins that are their top four. So, you know, he's not going to play a lot. Their safeties, you know, you can say what you want about them, but they're veterans. And their corners are all veteran players other than Carrington Valentine, who, barring an injury, probably won't play early on. So they have no youth excuse on that side of the ball. It is on, you know, on special teams, they're going to have Keyshawn Nixon returning kickoffs, but they're going to have, it would appear, Jaden Reed as their punt returner. So they clearly don't plan on giving that kind of a grace period on defense, whereas on special teams and on offense, it's clearly a 2-year plan.
All right, is it Enigberry? Is that how you say it? I thought it was Enigbari. Is it? I want to make sure.
All I know is the emphasis is on the nag. That's the key part of that. And Enigberry, Enigbari.
Okay. All right, Enag. Okay, I got it. All right, now we have the important part, Jason, that we had a discussion about Barry. The last 2 years, the Packers have given up the same number of points, 371, excuse me. And the Hall of Famer, Tony Smith, says, if Barry doesn't get it down to 330, he should be fired. And I said, no, I'll take 345 because that would probably put him in the top 10. What number of points from 371 the last two seasons does Barry have to get it down to save his job?
Oh, I guess I don't think in those
really
type of terms. You know, obviously scoring is the most important statistic. I totally get that. But the NFL's best defense last year was Denver. No, wait, that's offense. Hold on.
San Francisco.
Yeah. Right, in terms of scoring defense.
Yeah, right.
They allowed an average of 10 points. No, wait a minute.
277.
Right, I got to stop listening.
277 points.
So, no. Defense, 2022, the Buffalo Bills had the best scoring defense in the league last year.
Based on what? Yards?
Scoring points or giving up points?
All right. Sorry, I was looking at the wrong column. All right.
Yeah.
So the NFL, 16.3 points per game allowed by San Francisco.
The Niners,
they were number one.
Yep.
Buffalo number two. Baltimore number three. The Jets number four. Those were the four teams that were under 20 points per game allowed in the NFL. So 20 points per game times 17 games.
340.
Is 340 points. Mm-hmm. The Packers finished with 21.8 points per game.
17.
So that's almost two extra points per game, right?
Yep.
So that's I mean, if you can average below, 19 points a game, I guess, would be where you feel like they were a top defense. But again, I don't like the point differential between being fifth, which was Cincinnati at 20.1, and the Packers being 17th or whatever at 21.8, is not that big on a per game basis.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they could give up fewer points and still, whether they don't get turnovers or, they still end up losing, 12 games and the defense doesn't carry them as much. They could improve in the scoring defensive category and still he could get fired, or they could not improve and Matt LaFleur may keep them still.
So what's the most important stat then, do you think?
I mean, to me, it's early in the season. If you can hold opponents to low point totals that allow you to win games like 16-13, and then if later in the season teams start to score on you, the other thing is let's be honest, you get a couple of blowouts and these numbers get skewed pretty heavily, right? And the other way too, you have a couple of games where you play a really inept offense that can't score, and suddenly you look a lot different statistically. Down the stretch last season, I would argue that the Packers were at times beneficiaries of offenses that weren't very good, right? And it's easier to hold them to low point totals when you're playing teams that stink. The Rams were a complete train wreck of an offense. They scored 12 points in that December game. So to me, it's what do you do against the Philadelphias? What do you do against the, the higher scoring offenses? Can you keep them in check to give your team a chance to win? And I'm not sure that when they play the really good teams, they're capable of that. That's one of the things we'll find out this season.
Any personnel that you want to make note of that you're watching?
Well,
generally,
I think
that cut down days to me don't seem like they're big shocks by Goody, because the only thing you know is that he's going to hold on to his draft picks to a large degree. But maybe I'm missing some.
No, I would tend to agree with that. But they've got some decisions to make. What are they going to do at wide receiver? Obviously Jaden Reed is a good second round pick, and I think they're really excited about him. But Dontavion Wicks didn't really. First, he had a concussion. Then he had a hamstring injury. Look, draft picks almost always make this team.
Yeah, he's going to make it. He's fine.
Right, but the seventh-round pick, Grant Dubose, who's also a wide receiver, I thought he showed more than Wicks did throughout training camp. But you don't have fifth-round picks. So
Heath could end up being the guy who doesn't make it. That would shock people. It wouldn't surprise me.
Heath has earned earned a roster spot, but are they going to keep seven guys so they don't have to, Goody has kept all of his draft picks, all of them from last year. The year before that, the only one who didn't make it coming out of camp was Cole Van Lannen. The year before that, the only one who didn't make it was Jake Hansen in terms of actually being released. And I think that, you go back to 19 and 18, I think the last one before Hansen in 2020 was a guy named Kendall Donerson in 2018. He keeps all of his draft picks, so it'll be interesting to see if anybody doesn't end up making the cut this time around.
I would say if someone doesn't make it, it'll be DuBose because he's a seventh-round pick, and he's going to make
Nichols.
It. What?
Lou Nichols, the running back, is also a seventh-round pick.
Yeah.
But, if you're picked before the seventh round, it's pretty hard to get cut by Goody.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde, all Packers, all the time.
You,
I don't know what's
you were
next.
Right a couple times. Congratulations.
I'm feeling pretty good about myself right now. Next.